Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart.
It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast!
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting.
Hi.
Dave, happy Halloween. Like, actually, Halloween.
Yeah, today. I wasn't sure what day it was, and then I heard the bubbles.
Yes. We're back in the lab.
We have a cauldron of something.
Interesting. See, you know, we can't actually see what's producing the sound that the bubbles make. Like, they just kind of happen once a year. I always thought it was, like, laboratory equipment. You thought it was a cauldron. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, right. like a witch.
Yeah. Or
the Horned King is kind of reanimating dead things and is going to come after Taryn.
That is such a you cut, and it's perfect for Halloween.
I'm the one person that'll understand that.
No, I don't think so. I think more people than you think would get that. Now,
yeah,
now,
it's true.
We are kind of missing something, I feel like. And it's not a lead. Isn't there usually another person here for these Halloween episodes?
Is there?
I feel like there is.
I feel like, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Well, you know, we don't have another person right at this moment, but I don't know. Dave, do you remember that phone? Like, we had that, like, bat phone for the one-year anniversary, and, like, people kept calling it, interrupting us in the middle of the episode.
Is it also episode 100? Is that phone ringing?
It is not episode 100. We're close. I don't know what this is. I want to say it's, like, 96 or something like that, but we're close.
Well, someone else can look it up for us.
And
leave it in the comments section if you're watching this on YouTube.
I didn't realize that phone also has an answering machine.
Oh.
And the light is blinking on it. And I mean, like, there is quite a layer of dust on this phone because we really haven't used this since our 1 year. It's just been sitting here. So I feel like in the spirit of all things Halloween, if there's a mysterious light blinking that's associated with an answering machine, we should probably play the message, right?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
All right, hang on. Let me see if I can get this thing to work here. Hold on. All right, here we go.
What is it? A Nintendo cartridge?
No, it has dust on it, and I don't want to touch it.
Okay, fair.
Gross.
It's your dust.
Hey guys, so I'm still in this alternate dimension after I was murdered? I forget. Whatever happened last year, I'm not re-listening to the episode. But yeah, while I've been here, I've met somebody, and wouldn't you know it, I think we're going to get married. I hear that legit weddings can sometimes tear open the space between dimensions. Not that I needed to tear myself a new one, but I do miss my cats. I think it'd be nice to be home for the spooky Halloween season. But unfortunately, I'm not going to make it in person to your podcast. Not sure what that means. You know, COVID remote. I don't. Is this hell? Am I in hell? Well, time will tell. But I'm sure you two will figure out some sort of bit or something exciting or fun or what? I'm on the phone. I'm on the phone. All right, Satan says I only have 5 minutes. This is a collect call, by the way. But happy Halloween, and I'll see you soon to haunt your life.
Boo.
Well, then. That was a thing.
I'm most concerned about how much we owe Satan for that collect call.
Yeah, and we didn't even get it, like, we didn't even get a chance to, like, decline it. I guess you can't, I guess when somebody calls from hell, you can't say no.
and you can't do, like, the, I'm down the street, pick me up.
I'm in hell, I can't be there, bye. Yeah,
I'm gonna be late, call you in an hour.
We had a baby, it's a boy. So I guess Dave's not gonna make it, but congratulations on the nuptials.
Yeah.
In the other world, Dave.
Exciting news, congratulations.
Well, you know, I guess
Hey Eric.
Yeah.
I have a question.
What's your question?
It's a spooky question because it's Halloween.
Okay.
Do you have a lead to bury? Ooh.
You know,
that was my ghost voice.
That was very good. I liked it. That was very good. You know, it's always important to have a backup plan when, you know, when things get a little...
That's not nice.
A little crazy. No, like it's always important to be prepared, especially on Halloween. You never know what's going to happen. Especially
call somebody a backup.
Yeah, but it's not like that. It's not like we're not talking like a true plan B here. We're talking about a real Halloween narrative, right? There's always a swerve. There's always a swerve. When you're telling a Halloween story, you know, sometimes you invite a friend on a podcast. Sometimes he finds a strange doll in his closet and it kills him. You know, like that's what happens. Sometimes you invite that same friend back on the podcast and you get him to play with a Ouija board and pff, there you go. He's in another dimension.
I don't remember any of those things.
I'm just throwing out hypotheticals. These things didn't actually happen, Dave. But also sometimes you have a friend that, you're telling a spooky Halloween story and, you know, your friend is trapped in another dimension and then poof, guess what? You have the senior graphic designer from NECA, Chris Ramo, just ready to be on your podcast. Right, Chris?
That's right. And I did not come from another dimension. I'm just here.
How about that? Isn't that just we've heard of Christmas miracles. This is a proper Halloween miracle. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me.
It is an absolute pleasure. We're both obviously big fans of NECA and your work, and we're going to get into that in just a moment. But before we actually dive in, the first thing that we ask all of our guests, since this is a show about collecting, what are you currently collecting?
Ooh, I think the question is, what am I not collecting currently? Let's see. Basically, I've been collecting Captain America stuff since I was about 10 years old, and I have not stopped since. So I'm still actively collecting that. And I've been pretty high on nostalgia lately. So I've been finding like junk bins at toy shows and just finding toys from like my childhood or McDonald's toys. And obviously I collect NECA stuff because, you know, I kind of work there.
So the Captain America thing, I know we've had a chance to actually help contribute to your collection with a very strange AAA Lucha Libre piece. But how, so you've been collecting Captain America since you were, you know, since you were 10. Why Cap? What drew you to the character?
I have no idea. I know where it started. If you remember, KB Toys used to have the 12-inch Marvel figures.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, yeah. And my dad picked up a bunch of them for me. A bunch of them were Spider-Man because I was kind of high on Spider-Man at the time. And one of them happened to be Cap. And all the Spider-Mans got pushed to the side. And I was like, this is the greatest toy I've ever seen, is this Captain America figure. And ever since then, I'm just like, I just want everything that has to deal with him. And it just hasn't stopped. And it's out of control a little bit.
So how did you get started in the art world?
I guess I could say as a kid, I was always interested in artwork. And as dumb as it sounds, watching the 1990 Turtles movie, watching April draw the turtles, inspired me to want to draw myself, I guess. So I can thank April for kickstarting my interest in drawing. And then I just stuck with it my entire life, and I kind of just knew this is what I wanted to do. And I know it's not the easiest road to take in life to be an artist, but I was taught to work my ass off, basically, and went through college and got out and just jumped right into the graphic design field.
Well, that's awesome that that Judith Hoag's April, you know, inspired you, and then one day you know,
right,
you came full circle, right?
Packaging. Yeah, it almost went a complete full circle. I don't remember which one. I think it was the Farmhouse 2-pack. I don't know if they actually came with it or what they did with it, but it was going to come with her sketches. And originally, yeah. Trevor, who is the brand manager for Turtles, he asked me if I wanted to draw those. And I was just like, that's unbelievable how life works out. But I think they went with like the actual sketches. But I was that close to getting that full circle moment. But yeah, it's kind of surreal to work on properties that kind of shaped who you are.
So speaking of those properties and you know what you do with NECA, how did you get into packaging design and find your way to work at NECA?
It all kind of just happened by chance, really. Out of college, I was working at a t-shirt design company, and then I was unemployed for a while, and then NECA had a listing for a graphic design job, and I'm like, what? You know, because like I was a NECA fan already in my life and a huge collector. Like my whole room was just full of shelves of it. And I looked it up and I was like, they're in New Jersey. I'm in New Jersey. I'm applying immediately. And then I waited about 5 months before I got a response. And that was like, oh, I'm just not going to get hired. This is just not how it goes. And I went in and I interviewed and they told me they would let me know in like a week, and they wound up calling me the next day and they hired me. But I actually got hired for WizKids, which is like their sister company does board games and minifigure games. And I started out doing rule book layouts and game board layouts, which is not really my interest, so it was not that exciting. And I would basically watch the other designers work on figure packaging, just kind of jealous, basically. And then Randy knew I had interests in horror and the action figure lines, and I got very lucky where one of the designers was going on vacation, and Randy needed a San Diego Comic-Con. It was our 8-bit Jason, actually.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
He's like, hey, I know you love horror, and I'm going to need somebody to do this. Do you want to do this? You have to replicate this box, which is something I've kind of been known for now after 12 years of being with NECA. You know, he's like, I'm going to give you a shot. So I did it. I put every bit of detail I could into it. And Randy was like, okay, we're good. And slowly he started giving me more and more projects, you know, on the side. And then eventually I transitioned totally into the action figure realm, and I've been there ever since.
Yeah, that 8-bit Jason box, where it opens and plays the song from from the game, and you know, the just that whole presentation was.
It also has the greatest game over screen of all time.
Yeah. It does. Yeah, yeah. I think I put that in the inner flap where it says you and your friends are dead. I had to put that in there. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was an absolutely brilliant release. And plus, there's nothing better than a purple and teal Dayglow Jason, right?
Oh, I love when we do weird stuff like that because it's just so outside of the box. Like, I just love when we do stuff like that.
Yeah, that's like my favorite Jason variant too. But we'll get to that later. So getting away from the package design and into more character design, Trader Grimm is somewhat of a rarity in the sense that it's a Funko Pop of an original character. What went into the creation of Trader Grimm?
So I am a huge Tiki fan and I'm a huge Spooky fan. And I started marrying those things together in my own artwork. And Funko posted that they were having a pop contest for, I think it was Comic-Con. Yeah, San Diego Comic-Con. And I'm like, well, I'm going to give this a shot. And I kind of feel like this spooky Tiki character kind of fit into their line and their Fantastic Plastic line, where they kind of feel like almost like 50s kind of Hanna-Barbera looking kind of characters. And that's basically where it started. Was I just designed the character and then submitted it, and I was like, there's no way this is ever going to happen. And then they let me know that I was one of the finalists, and then they eventually told me they revealed it at Funko Fun Days or whatever they call it, that it was second place out of the top three. And then I believe what they were supposed to do was make the first place one, and then they were going to give free pops to the second and third place. And I was like, well, it's still cool. You know, I can say that I got second place. You know, I appreciate it, whatever. And the guy that I was in contact with was just like, oh yeah, just so you know, like when your pop is done, we'll send you one and all this other stuff. And I'm like, oh, I think you sent the email to the wrong person. Like, you're supposed to do that for first place. And they're like, oh no, we're going to make all the top three ones. And like, time just kind of slowed down at that moment. Cause I'm like, there's no way that this is actually happening. And then lo and behold, now I have it. And it's probably one of the top things that I've ever done in my entire career.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's such a cool design, and, you know, we'll get into this in a little bit, you know, that there's definitely another aspect of fandom that kind of works its way into this category a little bit, but like that whole Tiki culture, you know, and you know, whether it's the cocktail culture or like the design culture, it's just such a fun little encapsulation of time that you know, where in New Jersey are you based? I know you where you work at Funko, but there's an awesome retro Tiki bar that's actually like a hidden gem in New Jersey, and I don't know if you know about it.
I don't, but I'd like you to tell me about it.
it's called Lee's Hawaiian Islander.
Lee's Hawaiian Islander. It sounds familiar. Where is it at?
It's in Dave, North Arlington.
I think it's technically Lyndhurst, but it might be North Arlington.
I'm writing this down.
It is a place like forgotten by time. Like you walk in and it is ripped straight out of like the, I would say like what, probably late 60s was the last time that place was updated. Like our parents used to go there.
That's awesome.
But it is all like Tiki drinks. Like you can get like, they make an excellent zombie. They have all of like the like famous poo-poo platter and like all of like the awesome kind of like that Polynesian Chinese food fusion cuisine, but it's all like retro and as tacky as you hoped it would be, and they have karaoke nights, and it is just like a perfect, it's rare we bump into other people who have an appreciation for Tiki culture, so I wanted to make sure that you were aware of Lee's Hawaiian Islander.
That sounds absolutely amazing. I mean, my wife is she just moved here from Burbank. And whenever I went out to visit her, we would go to, what was the name of that place we went to? I can't think of the name of it at the time. Tonga Hut. Yeah. It's like one of LA's like oldest tiki bars. And I'm like, oh my God, we need stuff like this in New Jersey. But, well, now I have to check this place out. You guys suggested for sure.
So, you know, going back to the other thing that I had kind of, alluded to, you know, outside of that kind of tiki style, a lot of your art is based in both classic horror films and Disney parks. So that's kind of the one element that we haven't really touched on yet, but, you know, what draws you to, you know, to horror and to Disney and kind of marrying the two of them together?
It's both sides of me. Like, I love the dark and spooky things of art and life, and I also like the bright and cheerful goofy things like the Disney parks. A lot of my influence from the Disney parks is their storytelling and the amount of details they put into the rides and the parks and everything. And I like to add that amount of story and detail and imagineering, if you want to call it that. And
all for it. All for it.
Yeah. And like, sure. I absolutely love horror. I can't explain it. I'm one of those people that, like, ever since I was a kid, I was drawn to like the monsters and the weird things. Cause like a lot of the toys we had as kids were monsters and weird things. And my parents were like, yeah, go for it. You know? So it just became part of me. And yeah, I can go with full blown gory horror, and I could just go with like classic, you know, spookiness at the same time. And I my personal work is I try to make it a little bit more lighthearted and not really strictly gory horror based, you know. So things my kids can look at and not be terrified.
Well, that's always been kind of the fun thing about Disney, right? Like cuz we're also huge Disney parks people.
Yeah, we're all in that same kind of genre, or, you know, kind of from that same loving horror, loving Disney type of deal. And yeah, for me, it's like, it's the immersion and all of that stuff too. So it's definitely things like what you're saying.
But I was going to say too, like, for a lot of kids, and I think, you know, myself included, Disney is kind of like a, in an odd sort of way, is like a gateway to horror. Like, cause I can remember from a very early age, like, Snow White's Scary Adventure at the parks, like, being like something that like legitimately terrified me. Or
yeah, me too.
You know, still my love for, you know, the Bing Crosby, you know, Sleepy Hollow short that was paired with the Wind in the Willows. Like, that end sequence where, you know, he's being chased, where Ichabod's being chased, like, it goes from like a lighthearted, like, jaunty, you know, Bing Crosby's led animated piece to like terrifying, like, and even things like the Haunted Mansion and the Tower of Terror, and to an extent certain elements of Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, there are so many of these things at Disney World that have horror elements to them. Like, I think that goes back to part of Walt's brilliance, like, honestly, like, in kind of designing these parks, because it really did kind of give you this multifaceted, like, yeah, bright and cheery side of things, but also, you know, the darker corners.
Yeah, even including, like, you know, I'm sure a favorite of all of ours, the Haunted Mansion. Like, that's just, you know, the kind of, that's almost like if you've gone to Disney when you were a kid, that was like your first kind of horror movie in a way, you know, that was being on that ride.
I also love that it's not just, oh, you go through it, it's like a classic spook house and you leave. Like every bit of that ride has some kind of story behind it.
Oh yeah.
Like, that's the kind of stuff I like, whether it's, you know, people coming up with it or like actual like lore. Like, it's so cool. Just all these little bits and pieces that are a mystery basically to figure out. Like, there's no definitive like story of what is happening while you're on the ride. Like, I've heard different theories, but I just think it's fun to really see like all these different backstories and all the details and everything that goes into it.
So, you know, we're on the topic of horror. you've worked with a lot of those properties, especially with NECA, but even in your own personal stuff, what's your favorite horror property that you've worked with?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I've really worked on almost every horror property I've ever wanted to work on, but my favorite would probably be the Evil Dead series. Cause I've been an Evil Dead fan for forever. For the first time I saw it, I was like instantly hooked. Like I have photos of me from like high school dressed as Ash, and I was just Ash a year ago, I think. So, yeah, that one was really like so awesome to work on. And I mean, luckily with Randy, he kind of just tells me like, hey, we're doing Evil Dead, go for it. And then I could just come up with my own concepts and artwork. And he's just like, yep, that looks good. So it's kind of nice working with somebody who just trusts you, you know. It's just like, he's like, you know what you're doing, just, you know, go for it. So that's where I get to really be creative, and we get to do fun stuff like, you know, lenticular covers we did for Ash versus Evil Dead, the TV series. But yeah, I would definitely say Evil Dead's probably my favorite one I've worked on so far.
So on that topic, tell us a little bit about that most recent release, the newest Ash that's come out with that like nice, like weathered looking, you know, box art, the original Evil Dead anniversary.
The original movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is our first Ash from the first original movie, yeah. I wanted it to look like a VHS tape. That was my concept. yeah, Randy just told me, hey, we're going to do Ash from Evil Dead. And that was the first thing that went in my mind. He's like, we want to use the poster, which I absolutely love that poster with the hand reaching out. And I just tried to replicate and make it look as much like a VHS tape as possible. But I, as dumb as it is, my favorite detail on it was putting the horror sticker and making it glossy, so it looked like it was an actual rental sticker that would be on VHS tapes at like a mom and pop video rental thing. That's just the kind of stuff that Randy lets me do, that he just is just like, yeah, that's really cool. You know, like he doesn't really shoot down ideas. So
I was actually talking about this with somebody the other day, right? Cause like we're all part of the generation where we remember going to, you know, video rental stores, whether it was the mom and pop one, whether it was Blockbuster or West Coast Video, yeah, or one of those. And we can all remember picking out a movie based solely on the cover.
100%.
Knowing nothing else about it, except for just like, wow, that cover like jumps out at me, right?
Unless it was like one of those ones where you knew what it was.
Yeah. But there was always, you know, the movies, at least, you know, maybe more for me initially, because I, you know, I was 7 years behind you, but like just the idea of, you know, that cover art being the most attractive piece. But like kids these days,
and also having nothing to do with the movie more often than not.
Yeah. Like Evil Dead 2 one. But
that one drew me in though. That giant skull with the living, like the actual eyes in it. Like that was one of those things where you're just like, I don't know what this is, but I feel like I need to watch it.
Dave, you like that one a little bit.
Yeah, to the point where it's like one of my favorite poster designs of all time. Like I have it tattooed on me.
That's amazing.
But what I was going to say is like kids now, like they don't get to experience that, right? Like sure, they could go on Netflix or, you know, any of the streaming services and they can pick something based on the poster art, you know, that's there, but they're missing that kind of tactile experience. But I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and like in a way, NECA is kind of doing that, you know, with the figures. Cause like you have to imagine, and I've seen it before, you know, where like I'm standing in Target looking at the NECA section. And, you know, I know what each and every property is, and like, you know, like it all like already makes sense to me. It's all like known IP. But every now and then when I'm there, I do see like a younger kid, you know, maybe like, you know, 12, 13 years old, going like, this looks cool. Like I actually hearing them kind of just pick up the figure, you know, based on the box, the same way that, you know, we used to with the VHSs. And Chris, that's your work. You're that hook there, man.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, we it's fun. I mean, Randy's really into like the poster art. So we try to use that when we can. But sometimes it will get repetitive if you have the same, like a character from the same movie. So we try to like find creative different ways to go about that. But some of the posters are so iconic. Like, yeah, like it does feel very like you're in a video store again when you're looking at like the NECA section sometimes.
So from horror back to Disney for a moment. NECA recently revealed that Nightmare Before Christmas is returning to the fold next year in 2023. I have to imagine as Nightmare Before Christmas kind of marries those two elements, you know, the spooky season and Disney together, that you would be excited to be, you know, working on that again, but working on that as NECA is producing figures again for Nightmare Before Christmas. But is there any particular Disney property that like you would absolutely love to do work for?
I actually don't care for Nightmare Before Christmas.
Wow. All right. That's okay. Everyone's entitled to opinion. Please get out.
Blaine gets on me all the time about this. No, I enjoyed it as a child, and now it's just oversaturated and overkill for me. So I'm just over it, but yeah, I am working on it. So, this happens sometimes where it's a property I don't necessarily care for, but I still put in the thought and energy that I would put into something that I do care about. So have no fears. It will be good.
I have no doubt.
No doubt whatsoever.
So man, that's a good one. I guess Muppets count as Disney property now.
Absolutely.
100%.
I am a massive Muppet fan, Kermit specifically. So if we were to ever do Ultimate Muppets, I'd be totally into that. It would be really cool if, I mean, again, this is not anything realistic, but if anyone did Haunted Mansion figures, you know, I could see that would be really cool if they were kind of how Gargoyles is, where it's somewhat based on the cartoon, but also brought into like the ultimate, like realistic style. I think that would be really cool.
Hey, you're getting as close to the Hatbox Ghost as you possibly can without putting out a Hatbox Ghost figure with that London After Midnight that's coming.
That's
the real life version of what that character was based on. So
yes, that will definitely be a custom. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that'll be a fun one to see how people repaint, because it's pretty dang close.
Yeah. Yeah, if I had to pick my own, I'd definitely say Muppets.
I could totally see that, like, you know, kind of Gargoyles-esque.
Yeah, it would be
what
really,
does this
really
look like
cool
in real life vibe though.
Yeah. I'd be down with that. Or we just do Muppets Haunted Mansion and there you go. And then we get both.
Boom.
There it is.
That special was great.
It's so good.
It was fantastic.
That had no business being as good as it was. Like two very good things combined very, very well.
I just have one issue. The new Kermit voice just doesn't do it for me. It doesn't sound like Kermit.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah. Am I alone here?
No, I can't get used. Okay. I can't get used.
I'm still
to
not
it.
Used and, to it yet.
And there are so many people that could, I mean, okay, so let's not get into the you know, reasons why, you know, the actor was forced out, left, you know, whatever the situation was. But, like, there are so many voice actors out there that can mimic things, like, perfectly. I don't understand why they would go with somebody that is that different.
Yeah, it just sounds so odd.
And is it just me, or does he sound like he's like too nonchalant? Like he doesn't have that kind of like anxiety in his voice.
Right, yeah. Where like when they would like make Kermit's like lips kind of like person twist, like his face would kind of like twist with his delivery of things. It's just, it seems very like straightforward, and I don't know. It's not my thing. I miss the old Kermit voice.
Ditto.
Well, I almost feel like they made Walter to be that kind of anxious character now.
Yeah, but they don't use them enough.
It's true.
Yeah.
Welcome to Adventures in Muppets. our Muppets side podcast. But yeah, you're not gonna. It'd be difficult to find us not willing to talk about this stuff for sure.
Yeah, yeah. You're. We say it often on this show, but like for real, like you are really amongst friends.
Yeah,
right now.
It's so nice. So such a nice relief.
And now a word from our sponsors.
This segment is brought to you by our friends at Chubsy Wubsy Toys. A traditional mom-and-pop toy store in Little Falls, New Jersey, Chubsy Wubsy Toys brings you the best new toys from the brands you love without the hassle of pounding the pavement searching for them at larger retail stores. Visit them in person at 106 Main Street in Little Falls, New Jersey, or online at ChubsyWubsy.com. That's ChubsyWubsy.com. And tell them Adventures in Collecting sent you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pop into a new career with CGC, the world leader in pop culture collectibles grading. CGC is seeking world-class Funko Pop experts to lead a new division dedicated to authenticating and grading collectible toys. This is an incredible opportunity to help build a new grading service in a hot collectibles category. Think you can play the part? Apply today at cgcgrading.com/careers. That's cgcgrading.com/careers.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. As collectors, we've all faced tough builds. Whether it's a challenging toy transformation, a complicated model kit, or playset, we have always had an instruction manual to help us get to the finish line. Unfortunately, mental health has no instruction manual. That's why finding the right therapist to guide you and teach you how to healthily get a handle of your mental health is so important. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists, available 100% online. Plus, it's affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match up with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It couldn't be simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/AIC. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/AIC.
And now back to the show.
Okay, so just overall now, we've talked Disney, we've talked horror, but what is a overall kind of dream property for you to either design or to draw?
I just hit a really good one with the Elvira Toonie Terror, the new one. I don't know if you've seen that one, the Stern pinball one.
Yeah, in the red dress.
Mm-hmm. I illustrated her on the cover and I illustrated her on the back and it got approved and it was one of the greatest days of my life because now I could say like, oh, one of my actual illustrations of Elvira is an official piece of merchandise. Like that was such a big deal to me.
Congratulations on that, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sure. I had two big ones this year. That was one of them. And the other one was, our life-size Tiffany box from Bride of Chucky we're doing.
Nice.
That was another one that Randy was like, hey, we're doing Chucky and Tiffany. You know, we want Chucky to look like the box was kind of destroyed. And Tiffany, I have no idea. So I was like, okay. And as it usually goes, my brain just constantly keeps thinking about package design. So on my commute, I'm just like, well, what if instead of good guys, it was bad gals and the whole box would just be a replica of Chucky's box, but catered to if Tiffany was a toy. And I gave Randy my concept. He's like, give it a shot and we'll see how it goes. And I sent him a few of the illustrations and then he sent it off and they approved it. And it's going to be coming out hopefully soon. So that was another one that I was just like, I can't believe this is real life. God.
Yeah, let's Jennifer, just go Muppets. Jennifer
let's
Tilly
go Muppets
was,
again.
There we go. Perfect. More Muppets. I was gonna say, and Jennifer Tilly's a hoot. So I was fortunate enough to get into that Chucky panel at New York Comic Con this year, and she is every ounce of as awesome as she appears on, you know, like in films and TV and stuff. She was just so much fun. She was an absolute riot.
I love when you see like actors like that who just, they're just like, yep, I love this. I'm a part of it and I'm going to go all in with it. Like, it just makes it so much better. She's definitely one of those people.
Yeah. And I could totally see too, like when that full size doll comes out, like she's going to be much like, like Elvira, like where I have to imagine there's going to be a lot of pictures of her on
yeah,
her social media.
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis did that too. She had a picture of her with I think it was her figure from the 2018 Halloween movie. That was another really cool moment.
So cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in sticking with the spirit of Halloween, Dave, I think it's time we resurrect a game
good.
That we haven't, right? That's good, right?
That's good.
I've been thinking about that the whole time. We resurrect a game that we haven't played in a while with a special Halloween version of This or That.
Yeah. And we can all talk about each question.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's do it.
So This or That, the way that this is played is we just kind of, Dave and I will fire off two options for you. In this case, we're going to do... you tell us which one is the spookier option and why you prefer it. That's going to be the theme for this one. So Dave, would you like to do the honor of starting us off with the first one?
Absolutely. So we're going original canon, not the remake canon, but Halloween 2 or Halloween 3 Season of the Witch.
I'm going to go with Halloween 3. Just because it's, I know it's not Michael Myers. I know it wasn't beloved at first, but now it is. But just as a standalone Halloween season movie, I love it.
I just watched it again this week. Yeah, it's one of like it's something when I was younger where I was like, "What is this?" And then it took a few watchings of it as I was getting older to kind of. And to know like the kind of behind the scenes mythology or the idea of it to be like, yes, I love this. And I wish that it actually kind of followed through.
Right. The original plan was to not have it be all Myers movies, right? It was supposed to be different Halloween stories.
Yeah.
Right? Am I remembering that right?
Yep. So after Halloween 3, it was going to be like, all right, Halloween 4 will be like some other weird Halloween themed movie.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Even if Myers just like popped in for like a kill or a cameo in all of them as like the crypt keeper, I guess, of the series would have been cool.
Yeah.
Halloween 3 was the first Halloween film I ever saw.
Really? That's interesting.
And it was on. Our father, we get our organization and collecting skills very much so from him. Growing up, we had these built-in shelves in our walls that were just lined with VHS tapes that were numbered. And there was this little blue book that lived on the shelf, and it had all the numbers and the timestamps of what movies were recorded on what tape.
Wow.
And I can even vividly remember the case, because none of them matched. I mean, like some of them were like the red like Maxell cases, but like. The one that Halloween 3 was on was this like silver case with like these three stripes on it. And I remember one time, you know, I was just looking through the book for something Halloween related. And the first thing I came across was Halloween 3. And not knowing what it was, not knowing anything about it story-wise, like how it was connected or not connected to the other Halloween films. That was the one that I fast forwarded to on the tape on the VCR, and I let it play, and I thought it was great from the first time I ever watched it. I was like, this is fun. Like this is a great like just horror movie, like great Halloween themed horror movie. And then flash forward to you know, a few years later, I saw, you know, the one with Michael Myers for the first time, the original, and was very confused.
How is this part three of it? Yeah, when I was younger, it was kind of opposite for me. So I saw them in order and I'm like, what is that? Like, I don't like this. Where's the guy in the mask? And then, you know, eventually over time, I kind of saw it in like, you know, horror marathons and things like that with people roughly my age that were just like now into that movie because time made you realize like, no, this rules. It just is unfortunately named Halloween 3, but
even yeah, still, if that like, movie were just called Season of the Witch, it would be, I don't think it would have gotten the amount of hate that it gotten that it did. Yeah. It was just called Season of the Witch, but
now beloved. So
beloved, absolutely beloved. All right. So on to the next one, the eternal horror question, Freddy or Jason.
I always go with Jason. the first Friday the 13th movie, if you want to call it Friday the 13th movie, I saw in the theaters was Freddy versus Jason, which I actually just watched this morning.
I love that movie.
I will not apologize for my love of that movie. It's ridiculous and fun all at the same time. And I still wish we got Freddy versus Jason versus Ash, but that never happened. It was a comic, but it was not a movie. But I always go with Jason. I'm 6'6", so I kind of relate with the giant hulking monster. And I just think he's got great kills and the mask and the zombiness and just the ridiculousness of his whole going to space and then going to hell and then fighting Freddy. Like, he's my favorite. I do love Freddy though, but I go Jason.
I mean, for me, this is like such a toss up, but I'm going to go Freddy just because of, you know, the consistency of Robert Englund and just how like Robert Englund basically like kind of elevated that idea of, you know, all we had was, you know, Michael and Jason, where they were kind of these faceless slasher characters. And it was just like, okay, here's something completely different. And the idea that it's like, you know, Jason can get you whenever, but Freddy can get you when you're sleeping, like when you really can't protect yourself or run or do anything.
Yeah, I feel like you definitely can't do Freddy without Robert Englund, as we've seen in that remake.
Yeah, as we've seen.
Yeah, I'm also going Freddy. You know, one of my favorite horror movies of all time is Dream Warriors. Like, it's just, that's like peak 80s horror for me is that film. And I know that's kind of like more of like the silly Freddy, but like still, it's just one of those things where like those kids thought that they had superpowers in their dreams too. And even with that, like they were still dropping dead, you know, like that scene where he turns the one kid into like a marionette and makes him walk out of the window. Like there were just so many, like Wes Craven, you know, created a monster, you know, based on, you know, a terrible like childhood memory and just terrifying. Freddy's terrifying.
And this like weird newspaper story that he read. Yeah. Like
dude with the hat standing outside his house. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, that too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely terrifying.
But yeah. And led to like basically one of the better sequels ever, which is New Nightmare.
Yeah.
Didn't he name Freddy Krueger after a kid who would bully him? Am I misremembering that? Okay.
I believe that was.
That's so awesome. Like, this is how I'm going to get back at you for bullying me. I'm going to name a child murderer after you.
I know it was so someone awesome. He encountered, but maybe I'm just thinking of Scream where he's the janitor, but.
Yeah, I love that too. That's such a great cameo.
Gotta love Wes Craven.
Oh, that would have been a great action figure to make. Wes Craven
as the janitor from Scream.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
On to the next one, Dave.
Okay, one that is it can be a little loaded in a way, but a better haunted mansion, Orlando or Anaheim?
You guys are trying to get me divorced, aren't you?
Absolutely not.
Well, no, there's a specific reason why it's loaded, and we'll get to that, I'm sure. But
There was a question that Blaine wanted me to ask, and I said I can't ask it because that will get him divorced. So we'll talk about that one offline.
Blaine.
I went on the Anaheim one for the first time in my life a year or two ago. I have to say Orlando just because that's the one I went on as a kid. And I will not apologize for that either. I go Orlando. She's shaking her fist at me and giving me the finger right now.
It's an easy answer for me too. It's Orlando. I mean, I haven't been to Disneyland since like 1994. So my memories are a little fuzzy. I'm going Orlando.
So here's why this is loaded for me, and it's Orlando now. And it might be Orlando forever, but here's the big reason why. So the last two times that I've been to Anaheim, to Disneyland, it has been during the changeover. So I've not only not been on the Haunted Mansion, but I've also never seen the Nightmare Before Christmas Haunted Mansion.
You are so lucky.
Haunted Mansion Holiday.
I saw it for the first time, and I was not a fan of it.
it's like kind of one of those, like, it for me right now is like kind of a bucket list item in a way, but like just because I've never had the chance to see it, but yeah. I kind of can't reserve judgment until I see it. But also, it's been so long since I've just seen normal Anaheim Haunted Mansion that I barely remember it.
I feel like they do the overlay too soon, where like during October and Halloween, like I want classic mansion. I don't want to see Christmas, Nightmare Before Christmas there. Like, I feel like, I mean, or ever, but that's besides the point. I would feel better if they did it just strictly Christmas time, or I mean, Nightmare is, it's just such a money maker. Like, just make a separate ride for it at this point. Like, I don't know why they even bothered with the overlay. Like, just do a separate Nightmare ride, and you know, goth kids would be out there all day long.
It would make a great dark ride.
It would. I mean, I went on it. It was very impressive, but again, it's, if it's not your thing, you know, and you just want Haunted Mansion, it's like, you know, just give it its own ride. I think they could totally make that work.
I always did think it was a lot to sacrifice, especially considering like Disneyland for a lot of, and Disney World, you know, the same way, it's an expensive trip. And there are people that travel all over the, like from all over the world to go to Disneyland, and it may be the only time they ever get there. And the one time that they go, it's either closed because they're not, you know, because they're doing the overlay, like it's the changeover, or, you know, to your point, they get there and they never get to see the original Haunted Mansion because they just so happen to travel during a holiday.
I do believe, just confirms, though,
Orlando's better.
I do believe, though, that Disneyland is more of a like kind of local season pass park, and Disney World is kind of more of the kind of destination one.
Right. I agree with that.
All right. Next question. So the eternal Kurt Russell question, Jack Burton or RJ McCready?
Oh, I go McCready all the way. The Thing is in my top horror movies of all time. And when I first started NECA, that was one of my requests, was will we ever do Thing figures? And I was told probably not. And here we are with almost a whole line of Thing figures now. So I 1,000,000% go McCready.
In complete agreement with you there, and I can't wait to have a weird alien dog thing.
Oh, I can't wait either. It's amazing.
So as much as I love The Thing, and it is one of the, it's probably one of my favorite non-Halloween Carpenter movies. My favorite non-Halloween Carpenter movie is Big Trouble in Little China. Jack Burton is one of, like, he's just like, he's so much that it's a great character, or he's a great character. But that was a movie I saw when I was young, because it was like an R-rated movie that was like not, you know, it probably wasn't okay for me to watch, but it was, if that makes sense. Kind of like Terminator 2.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that's like passable for a slightly younger audience. There's not like anything like overtly sexual in it. The violence is so over the top that it's like ridiculous.
Yeah, it's really just the language guess the violence that got it there.
Yeah, no, I mean, the thing is literally, I will not watch that movie during the Halloween season. Like, it's a horror movie that literally the first time we get like a good snow, it's the first thing I put on. Like, instantly.
Oh, I definitely agree with that.
If I look outside and it's snowing and, like, either the kids are asleep, because obviously I have a 7-year-old. Can't watch that one with a 7-year-old.
No, I don't think she'd like that.
I mean, I watched it with her when she was, like, a baby. That was the best part of, like, so my new baby, the one that'll be 2 in January, she won't sit on my lap and just kind of, like, stare blankly at the screen like my first did. But I remember, like, yeah, she has technically watched things that she's not supposed to watch, but she doesn't remember them. But yeah, the first time it snows, if I have a kid-free zone, that movie's going on. Instantly, first time it snows. So
the thing was, the last movie I saw in the theaters before shutdown a couple years ago.
Draft House?
Yeah.
All right, take us to the next one, Dave.
Okay, so Hatbox Ghost, or Bride, aka Constance Hatchaway.
I'm gonna go Hatbox Ghost. I just love that design. I love his outfit, the whole special effect behind it, the skeleton face. Like, it's so awesome. Not to say I don't love The Bride, but just Hatbox rules.
I'm so excited that we're getting him in Orlando, that they announced that they're bringing him there.
Yeah.
That was one of the most exciting things to going to the Disneyland one, was to actually see it in person.
Yeah, I still have not.
Yeah, Hatbox for me too.
Just purely out of spite that I have not seen it, I'm going Constance. I'll change my answer in a couple years when they put him in Orlando. All right, next one. Trader Sam's or Oga's Cantina?
I'm going to go Trader Sam's, strictly because I have never been to Oga's Cantina.
Am I the only one?
You are the only one. You're the only person. Yeah, the only one in the chat, Dave.
I would have came up with a different one. I'm sorry.
I will also say the Orlando one, because I have not been inside of the Disneyland one. We can never get in.
Is a tough ticket. I've heard.
Yeah, we've been outside before. We've never been inside. Orlando, I have been inside, and I love that it's just, you have to know where it is. It's just a door with a sign on it that says Trader Sam's on it, and then it's just this nice little private place. I'm sure it's difficult to get in now, but the times that I went, we got in pretty easily, so.
Yeah, my answer is going to be the same. I mean, it's a classic. Like one of my favorite attractions at Disney is the Enchanted Tiki Room, and any kind of sort of extension of that is game in my book. And yes, this is coming from somebody who lives and breathes Star Wars, that I'm picking the classic Disney thing over the Star Wars thing.
So, I'm gonna go with Oga's. I did. So, rum is probably one of my least favorite things.
It makes tiki culture a little difficult for you.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
You can't drink anything.
It's just, you know, couple bad experiences and away we go. But
oh, I understand that.
Also, the fact that I have a Porg kind of, I guess, tiki mug because of Ogas, like, that's, you know, I'm always going to vote for Porg, so.
Hashtag Porg life.
Porg life. Porg.
All right, Dave, let's go to the next one.
All right. The Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2?
It would be easier to pick between my children. this is the hardest question you've asked me.
It's a tough one. It's tough for me too.
I'm gonna go Evil Dead 2 just because we get the chainsaw hand and that's the best, and Bruce Campbell literally going full throttle by himself is just it's the best. Like, it's him versus a bunch of evil puppets, basically. So, I guess I got to go with Evil Dead too.
Yeah, I think I'm going. I go the same.
It's one of the best ever. Like,
yeah,
Evil Dead 1 gets a little heavy. Gets a little heavy at some points.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Yeah, just based off of how silly Evil Dead 2 is, like it rules. It's hilarious. It's scary. It's everything.
Plus, there's a musical based off of Evil Dead 2, and it rules.
I have seen it, and it's amazing.
Yep.
I've seen it twice, and it's awesome.
Oh, yep, you're so lucky. Did you go in the Splatter Zone?
Splatter Zone. I have.
I did not.
Splatter Zone. Yeah.
I wanted to, but the person I was with did not want to, so I bought tickets the row right behind the Splatter Zone, just hoping, like, hey, we're not in it, but we might get it, so, but unfortunately, we did not get sprayed.
Cabin in the Woods. I love that. I was hoping there would be, like, now that shows are a thing again, that would go back on tour and maybe, like, show up in like, Morristown or something.
That was when I saw it the second time. It was that exact situation.
Yeah, I saw it twice at the when it was at the New World Stages. So when it was still off Broadway, we went twice.
Yeah, I saw it in the Count Basie in Red Bank. That's where I saw it.
Oh, nice,
nice.
Okay. All right. So the last question in the spooky edition of This or That: LJN Freddy or LJN Jason?
I'm just gonna go with LJN Jason because I have my NECA career to thank him for, and of course, Purple and Blue Jason rules.
Yeah, I'm right with you there. I'm right with you there. Plus, like, that music is iconic. The game is actually, like, as exceedingly
I don't know why
difficult
people hate
as
that
it
game.
Is. It's just really hard.
It's really hard.
Yeah, that's it. But, like, it's actually playable, and, you know, like, it's actually a well thought out, put together game. Whereas the Nightmare on Elm Street game is, like, bananas. It's one of those. It's one of those, like, proper LJN games that don't really make any sense. And, like, the Freddy design is, it's the colorway is okay. It's just okay.
But yeah. Pink and Blue Jason that you have to throw stones at in order to beat him, like, that rules.
We gotta find the knife, right?
Yeah,
the knife. Yeah, that's
and then
that's
the sweater.
The big one. Yeah. Oh well, Chris, you have survived a horrific ordeal in this spooky version of This or That.
Truly, you survived because it's Halloween.
Yes. But this does, however, take us to our podcast's final question. And Dave, would you like to fulfill your role as this show's James Lipton and ask the final question?
Why, yes, I would. So this is the final question that we ask all of our guests. What is your favorite and or strangest piece in your collection? It can be one of each, or it can be both.
Okay, I actually have an answer for both of these.
All right.
So my favorite is, it has to be my first Cap figure, like I mentioned before. And Sorry. I literally just dug this up out of storage specifically to show my wife this. Okay. So I have a gummy Captain America. It's in the shape of his body. He's in like a coffin almost. Okay. And this thing is 20 years old. It has not melted. It is not deformed. He's in his little gummy coffin. It's shaped like an action figure. I can send you a photo of it as proof. I worked in a party store in 2002 when I was in high school, and I bought this thing because, of course, I had to buy everything Cap. I put in my collection, and it's been there ever since. So that's the weirdest thing I have, is a 20-year-old Captain America-shaped gummy.
And just imagine, like, if you had put that thing in your body, it would have tried to process.
It'd still be there. Yeah, it'd still be there.
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't be like baseball card gum, like where it just...
Like, I'd like to think that, like, this is the frozen Cap. Like, this is my legacy.
One day, it will come to life. And
yeah. Yeah, 8 years.
You got 40 more to go. Yeah. Hang on to that guy for 40
like that
more
movie
years.
Dolls. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll pass it on. I'll pass it on to my children.
Do not eat the gummy, kids. Yeah. Don't
eat it. Preserve it. It's our family legacy here. This gummy is going to put you guys through college. Come on.
This gummy is going to put you guys through college. I think there's no finer way to finish out answering that question with that quote. If we were fancy enough to do pull quotes for the episode, that would be the pull quote.
That'd right be the there. Title, yeah.
Yeah, that would be the pull quote. Well, Chris, before we let you go and get back to the Halloween festivities, tell us, where can we find you on the internet? Where can we learn more about your art? Tell our audience where they can find you.
Okay, my website is plasticvampireart.com. My Instagram is @plasticvampireart. I also have a toy related Instagram called Plastic Vampire Toy Box, where I'll post my terrible attempts at toy photography, and just things I find at toy shows and just NECA stuff or whatever I'm working on. And I also have another account called the Captain America Collection, where I will just keep posting random things from my collection just because I find it fun and interesting. And that's it. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we'll definitely put links to all those accounts in the show notes, as they say. Chris, thank you so much for taking time to be on our Halloween special. This was an awesome chat, and let's do this again sometime.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Dave, can you give us a spooky go home?
Spooky go home.
Oh my God.
Happy Halloween, everyone.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.